Good morning, church family. I'm so grateful to be here with you this morning to begin this year and our time together in worship. As Brother Corey shared at the beginning of the service, we felt it right to take a moment to provide an update to our church family, many who I know couldn't even, many of whom dealing with elements that prevent them from being here with us physically in person today. So we thank you to those of you able to join us online this morning. Some of you have maybe perhaps not been able to get all the updates from Brother David and family regarding Baylor over the past few days. So we wanted to take a moment just to share an update over the past few days of what's transpired. But then more importantly, give us as a church family an opportunity to collectively pray for the entire Bramble family. You may have noticed earlier this week, Brother David, early in the week posted that on Wednesday, Baylor had nasal surgery with the hopes that it would help his breathing and limit the nosebleeds that seem to have plagued him over the past several months. Baylor has been struggling with respiratory issues and has had violent cough attacks. Please pray that we can have several days of recovery without attacks. Early Saturday afternoon, yesterday, Baylor's health quickly declined, at which point the family immediately called 911 and paramedics rushed him to our local hospital. Sadly, shortly after his arrival to the hospital, Baylor passed away. Around 4 p.m. yesterday, Brother David shared one final update, saying, quote, after nearly 5.5 years of fighting, Baylor's fight is finished. He is with Jesus and hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. The family today is home together and requests your prayers above all else. I want you to know that as a staff, as we are able to share any update with you, our church family, that we'll be sure to keep you posted throughout every step of the process. Until then, please continue to pray for their family as they take time to grieve together. And more so than just talking about it, as we're so guilty of doing, saying, I'll pray for you, we wanted in this moment, as I said, to pause and pray collectively for David, for Christy, for Macy, and Brady, and more than just one person with a microphone praying. I wanted to invite you all to join us in that moment. You may stay seated where you are, you may kneel, you may pray aloud, you may pray silently, you may pray along with those sitting next to you, but I would invite you to join me now bowing in prayer for the Bramble family just before I pray. thank you that you are with us in these moments when we feel so small and might be tempted to believe that you're so far away. We thank you that you promise that you are with us. Not for a moment have you left us. Not for a moment has this world spun beyond your control. In every detail, you are God, you are King. And yet, as a shepherd, you are so close and intercede for us and hear us even when we have no words, but only our groans and our tears. I thank you so much for the impact of a young man who never gave up. I thank you that he is enjoying the reward today of the immeasurable impact he's had on so many because of how he persevered and ran his race to the finish. So, Father, while we mourn, we thank you that we have the hope of heaven and that our brother today stands whole, no longer hurting, no longer fighting, only experiencing the full realization of his faith. And so, God, while we remain here, we ask for your help. I pray for his family. I thank you so much for their example, their faith that has impacted so many. And Lord, we pray for them today that you would, in the only way that you can, that you would give them comfort and peace and awareness of your presence, that you are near when they are tempted to be overwhelmed and overcome. God, may you give them a sense of the prayers and the love and the support of believers all across the world who weep with them this morning, who pray for them this morning, who walk with them in the moments that follow. For this church, God, for his peers who've been by his side since day one, for families who have given, who have prayed, who have fed. Lord, as we wrestle for answers, as we plead for understanding, give us a faith that is immovable, even when we can't understand and when answers are absent. And I thank you that our story is not over. That because of a life dedicated to you, one's legacy continues forever. So God, equip us, those who remain, with the ability to walk faithful, to press on with perseverance, knowing that you walk with us every step of the way. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and continue to sing about his greatness.
then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior. so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share
Thank you so much, Terry and Debbie, for leading us this morning in worship in a time when we gather collectively, yet individually from households and backgrounds. As we start a new year with our own unique experiences, I want you to know that it's right for you to be here today to seek the Lord, to trust him as we begin a new year. Today, David and Terry had met weeks, months ago and planned, prayed, and had intended this service to be one of reflection, of remembrance, and rejoicing. A time to reflect over all that transpired this past year and what you've learned, what I've learned, a time to remember as we come to the Lord's table, what God has done for us through the death and resurrection of his Son, and because of that truth, a time to rejoice for what God is yet to do, not only in this year, but ultimately, when he returns and makes all things new. Speaking with Corey between services, I don't think we would have it any other way. Even if we knew the future and what would have transpired between the time Brother David first planned this service, prayed, and began thinking towards this service, towards this date, to today. I don't know of any other way to start the year to reflect on what has transpired, to remember that by the work of the cross, the hope that we have, not only for this world and the days that we have to live, but also the hope for what is to come. And because of that, to rejoice, even when it doesn't make sense. Because, you know, the world will look at us, others who have followed your story, Baylor's story. You know, this just doesn't make sense. You know, how and why would you continue to put your faith in a God who allows the things to happen the way it does in the world around us? What kind of God would sit idly by and allow the world to experience a type of suffering? You know, I'm reminded, and as many of you are, that lest we be tempted to think that this is the first time that God's people have ever suffered, that suffering has ever gripped an entire globe or a country, we would do well to remember that God is faithful, even when things don't make sense. So perhaps today you come in with your own burdens, your own journey that has led you to start a new year, perhaps differently than any other year that you've ever walked into. I wonder this morning, are you here and are you weary because of what you've experienced? You're tired. I've heard the word compassion fatigue thrown out a great deal in recent months, where we still care, we still weep, we still mourn, we're just tired. It's like, how much more tragedy, how much more pain, how much more loss and division can we consume and absorb or process as human beings? It's just too much. So perhaps you come in more than anything else today, you come in weary. You come in walking, but you're weary. Maybe you're fearful more than anything else of what might happen in the days to come. When you have, perhaps more than any other time in your life, you've been stripped of all control. Where there was a sense of normalcy and some predictability about life, all of that is gone, has been gone. And perhaps for the first time, you've never been so out of control. And for some of us, that really freaks you out. That really exposes the idols that you have in your life. When things don't go your way, when people disagree, when bad things happen, when evil is celebrated and truth and righteousness is shoved aside, you are fearful. To which I would say, I understand and I can relate. Or maybe you're simply hopeful that surely things cannot get any worse than they already have. Surely that's it. Just by the physics of the world spinning one more time and the fact that we started a new year, surely that's past us. Someone talked to me this week. They said, Nick, are you ready for the new year? I'm like, dude, sure. I mean, I don't know that it can get any worse. He's like, dude, don't say that. What are you doing saying something like that? Why would you invoke something, invite that opportunity? Just by speaking, sure, just hope. You're just hopeful. You don't know what you're hoping for, what you're hoping in. You're just hopeful that it's not going to get any worse. I can understand that too. But I would also say that's no way to live. Or today, despite the tears, despite the struggle, despite the unknown, are you today walking in here resting in the promises of God that we began singing and celebrating this morning? Are you trusting that God is present, that He is faithful on His promise, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that in this world, yes, you may have trouble, but take heart that I have overcome the world. So though we do weep and we struggle and we fear, and we are anxious, we don't stay there. We continue to rest in His promises and trust that He's not going to leave us. And we press on, believing that God's not through with me. Believing that God's not through with you. And He will walk with you and work through you every moment you and I are allowed to enjoy this coming year. So I would invite you in a moment of honesty this morning that your sincere act of worship would to acknowledge to God where your heart is today, whom your faith is resting in today, so that whatever way in which you walked in this morning, whatever way you sit and watch today online, you would not get up or leave or continue in the same way, but you would seek to be filled with God's Spirit that would allow Him to do something in you that can only be explained by the presence and the power of an eternal God that is greater and stronger and nearer than anything else we might experience in this world. Today, my friend, you're invited to gather around the table, just as Jesus invited His closest followers on the night he was to be betrayed. Though they wouldn't fully understand it in the moment, Jesus invited them to come. These final moments he would share on earth, he prayed and he gathered with them. I invite you to turn with me in Mark chapter 14 this morning. The Gospel of Mark, we read this account in all the Gospels, but today I read from Mark's account in chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. The Bible says, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover so that you may eat it?" So he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." So the disciples went out, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. Skipping ahead to verse 22. As they were eating, he, that is Jesus, took bread, blessed, and broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. In this incredibly intimate and crucial moment, Jesus told his closest followers that by his death that was to come, the full price for the sin of all mankind would be paid once and for all. And that through his raising from the dead, God would bring new life to anyone who put their faith and trust in him. As we said, we know that the disciples didn't fully get it. We know that because of the pages that we read later. But for you and I that sit here today with the benefit of the full revelation of Scripture, with the gift of God's Spirit, as we start a new year, the first Sunday of a new year, whether you're here in person or watching online, I would simply remind you of the power and the beauty that comes when God makes all things new. Last night, the pastors, we gathered here late to pray for the Bramble family, to talk through adjustments and plans for this morning and what in the world we do in the immediate coming days. And as I considered this passage and knowing that in a few hours we would be gathering to receive the Lord's Supper, I couldn't help but dwell on verse 25, where Jesus, knowing what was to come, said, "Truly I tell you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God, when all things are made new, when all the work is done, when all God's people have been gathered home. And you might think it's strange, but I started to think of the beginning of all things. And like most good Christians do on January 1st, I open my Bible to Genesis 1. Right, I'm going to read the whole Bible again this year, or I'm going to start with page 1, January 1. Pretty hard not to mess that up, right? Maybe, I don't know. When I got to thinking of heaven, I got to thinking of what Jesus was saying in these moments to the disciples. I got to thinking of when God first created and everything was good. Have you ever read Genesis chapter 1? Creation account, when God spoke and everything just was there. Have you ever dwelt on the last verse of Genesis 1, 31? It said, God saw all that he made, that he had made, and it was very good. The little kid in me read those words, considering God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Is there any part of you that wondered what that looked like? Like me, just not that we could be there, not that I was there, but man, what was that like? God's creation, complete and perfect. It was very good. Does it for you, as it did for me, create a longing for something that is perfect, for a world that is no longer tainted by sin, where light is no longer at war with darkness, when there is only victory, no more struggle? For some reason, that's where God took my heart and my mind this weekend as I considered the breadth of 2020, my own journey and frustrations of the past several months. I considered the task of standing before God's people this morning, thinking about everything that you've experienced personally, that you've endured. Some things that maybe no one else knows about. And as we begin this new year together, perhaps you too are longing for when God makes all things new. And when all is done and everything is restored to what God created it to be, whole and holy. I believe that's why he gave us the table. And you and I know the beauty of a table is it's meant to be a gathering place for everyone. That there's no one that God did not intend to receive that invitation. But you come, those who do come, come by faith in what this table and these elements that we will receive in just a moment, what they symbolize. Time to reflect on what God has done, to remember that time when you understood the gospel, the full weight of your sin and the beauty of the gift of eternal life that's offered through Jesus, so that by standing and pressing on, we're able to rejoice even when the world around us looks and questions, why do you continue to worship? How can you continue to spout your beliefs, to share good news when it seems the bad news is so loud and so great. My friend, you and I don't have to understand all the answers. We simply have to come to the foot of the cross. So as we prepare to do just that today, again, I would simply invite you to evaluate the condition and the need of your own heart and life today. Please don't waste your time. Please don't pretend that you can hide from God. The beauty of the invitation that God extends to us all is the fact that He already knows, yet He still loves. We have no clue what the future holds, but we can walk trusting that God is still in control. That's the only way that I'm here today. How about you? I'm here today because of the faithfulness of God's people. Who stood, who shared, who cared and loved, and didn't stop telling, even when things didn't make sense. I wouldn't dare violate this moment by trying to dwell, but I can't help but acknowledge the truth. As I look around and I see so much blue, as I read the comments, as I've received words from so many all over the country, if a young man who's lost his ability to speak can still impact the world, what could you and I do this year if we fully surrendered? What might God accomplish through the faithfulness of His people? If we continue to run our race with perseverance, even when others questioned why we even stepped on the track. This morning, my friend, all of this is possible. The impact of other people, of other fallen people, impacting the broken lives of others is only possible because of what God did for us on the cross and how God takes the broken, yet the redeemed, and uses us as beautiful vessels, as incredible instruments to steward, to share the greatest news that has ever been told. We don't just do it at Christmas time. We must do it all the time. So I invite you to bow with me just a moment to do what I just encourage you to do, or said we would do, is that you would prepare your heart. And then in these moments before we take the Lord's Supper, you would evaluate the condition of your own heart. My friend, if you gathered here today, if you're watching and listening, and you are not sure of where you stand with God, that you doubt your worth, you question whether or not the price God paid is sufficient to cover the full weight of your sin, my friend, know that today you are in welcome company, and you are exactly the person Jesus came to give his all for, so that you might walk a new life and receive not only the Lord's Supper today, but enjoy it one day with him again anew in the kingdom of heaven. By faith, you can pray, God, I don't understand all things, but I know this. I need God in my life, and I need to be saved. I believe you're the only one who can rescue me. And I believe that you sent your son to die in my place so that by placing my faith in him, I can have new life forever. God, set me free and send me out to share this good news with all that I encounter. If you prayed that by faith, know that my God is a God who hears, who answers, who sets free and sends out. Today is your new day. If you're a believer who's wrestling, who's been living in darkness, who's been in anguish, who's been crippled by fear, overwhelmed by circumstances, my friend, know you and I, again, we don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to receive these elements, but the whole point is that it symbolizes the price that we could not pay so that we might receive the gift. So before I pray for us and prepare the Lord's Supper, take just a moment. Cry out to God in whatever way you need to this morning. God, there is no way for us to fully understand how holy and precious these moments are. How much this moment was for the disciples when they first received it with you on earth. For us here today who do so symbolically, remembering. I'm also convinced, God, far too often I miss how close you are, how personable, how real you are, and that by you offering and giving us an opportunity to gather around your table, it's a simple way of reminding each person how great your love, how near you are. So as we prepare to remember, to reflect, God, draw us near to your side and remind us the beauty of your sacrifice and the freedom that it offers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a moment, I invite you to go ahead and grab those elements that you received on the way in this morning. As you do so, I would remind you that here at Northside, we believe that the Lord's Supper, this communion, the ordinance that the Lord gave the church, that it's one that is offered to those who are born again, baptized believers, or those candidates for baptism, members of a local church who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus. Know this, that not one of us deserves it. It's not about what we deserve. It's all about His grace. But we do ask you to judge for yourself, your own heart. If you have placed your faith in Christ in order to receive this with a sincere heart, as an expression of your faith in Jesus as the only way to have a relationship with God because of what He has done. So consider those words and that encouragement as we prepare. I would read to you, as Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, shared to the Corinthians, what he said in chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Take, eat." The same way, Bible says, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Take. Let's pray together. Father God, these simple elements, reminders, symbols of the way in which your body was crushed, your blood poured out to cover the full price for man's sin for all time. God, I pray for each person who was able to remember and reflect today with us, would recall just how great a sacrifice you paid because of the depth of your love for the entire world. Father, may we receive it today with extreme gratitude, so that we might go forth with a real passion to share and show the good news of Jesus with others around us who so desperately need to hear it. God, we admit our shortcomings and acknowledge we cannot do anything apart from you, and simply ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would transform us according to your righteousness, so that we might be used to point others to Jesus this year, this week, and even this day. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you have yet to do. May you find us faithful. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look this way as we close in just a moment, and one more song of worship. I would have you know as we gather today that we remain here to pray for you, to counsel, encourage you in whatever way we can. Know that your staff and your church family is so grateful for you and how you've been a blessing and encouragement to us in these days and will be in the days that follow. This is the start of a new year, as we said, and as we all know, no one knows the future. As we make decisions from week to week and pray, know that we do so with such a sincere concern and desire to honor the Lord, to be thoughtful and mindful of one another, not living with a spirit of fear, but walking with true wisdom and discernment. So we covet your prayers as we seek to do that by example and also in concert with you, our church family. But if we can be of any assistance to you personally or those throughout our community, please let us know, because we don't want the good news to stop here. We want to continue to herald that story, to share and show the good news, either with our lips or with the way we live our lives together. So let's stand and continue to do that even as we go this morning.